one is entitled, The Last Days Will Be Fierce. We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. Paul is writing, the great apostle Paul is writing to his young minister in the faith, a young man that he was a spiritual father to, mentored in the things of God. And he is writing to him of conditions that would exist in the last days. And he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now that's a very long list, isn't it? He goes on and he says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such turn away. I'm going to just kind of stop right there. You know, because the New Testament Bible, New Testament Scripture, states the condition of the world in the days in which you and I would be living. And I truly believe these are those last days. I believe we are in the last of the last days. Now, no man knows the day or hour. Jesus said that. You cannot pinpoint the day or the hour when Christ will return. But we understand that prior to his coming, that there would be tremendous changes taking place in the world in which you and I live. And they would take place so quickly and so rapidly that it would be very hard to keep up with it all. How many of you realize that the world in which you and I are living right now, I mean, you can't hardly keep up with what's going on. I mean, it's changing so rapidly. It's accelerating. And it's almost impossible to keep up with it all. Even technology-wise, I mean, the advancements in technology are not remaining the same. I mean, it is accelerating at a tremendous rate. I mean, the changes in our world are literally mind-boggling. And that is what Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy, that there would be changes in the last days. There would be changes politically, economically, socially, and also in the religious world. So to understand all of what is going on in our world, to understand everything that is happening, we have to go to God's Word to give us a spirit of discernment. And we need a spirit of discernment today. Because if we don't know God's Word, my friends, we can be deceived. And people are deceived because they don't know God's Word, or they turn away from God's Word. They reject God's Word. So we must understand what is happening in the world in which you and I are now living. And we need the insight of God's Word for that spirit of discernment. Now, I have entitled this lesson, The Last Days Will Be Fierce. And the fierce term comes from the very first statement, the very first sentence in 2 Timothy 3:1, where he says, know this. Now, let me just make a comment on that. That phrase, but know this, in the original Greek language, what that is emphasizing is that Paul was telling Timothy that know this. This is going to be as sure as the sun rises and sets every day. He said this is going to be so sure that nothing is going to be able to change this. Not even prayer will change this. Because this is a prophetic declaration. This is a prophetic statement in God's Word. Know this, that in the last days, and nothing is going to change these perilous times. Nothing. Not prayer. Nothing is going to change this. Because it is a prophetic declaration. Does everybody understand that? That's why he says, but know this. When he says, but know this, he is stating something that is unequivocally true, a fact as strong as you can find it. This is what's going to happen, and there is absolutely nothing that is going to change this. So he's giving that tremendous emphasis, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. So we're going to talk about that. and the spirit of the age. The word perilous comes from this Greek word, which literally means harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with, a high risk period. Now, if you read the news or stay up on what's going on in the world, I mean, it's horrible, the things that we see happening. I was just reading a news story this week of a mother who killed her three young children and then attempted to kill herself. And I mean, we're talking, I think, a child that was three, one was five, and one was 2 months. I mean, how could a mother do that to her children and then to herself? You know, I mean, these are the times that we are living in. When I was working in the secular world, and the company that I was working for, there was a client, a customer, I called on his account, I called on his store, and he and his wife had separated, and his wife was very, I think she was very distraught over the breakup and what was going on, and they had three young children. 3 o'clock in the morning, she calls her husband, her estranged husband, to come to the house. One of the kids are sick. Right, when he comes to the house, all three of those children, she shot them to death. Shot all three of them in the head. We're talking young children. All right, so then when he gets there, she's waiting for him, and she starts shooting at him. He started running out of the house, but she was shooting, bullets were flying, and she shot him right there and then turned the gun on herself and took herself out. Right, this is what the Bible, my friends, is telling us is going to exist in the last days. And we are seeing. I mean, how could a young man go into an elementary school and assassinate kindergartners? I mean, think about the things that are going on in our world. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. He said that these last days are going to be perilous, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with, a high risk period. That would be the times in the last days. This would characterize the last days. Now, this word perilous, we find the translation of it in only one other place in the New Testament, from this Greek word chalepos, and it is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 28. This is when Jesus is coming. He's coming to the country of the Gadarenes, or as it says here, the Gergesenes. I hope I'm pronouncing that word right. It's another word for Gadarea. And it says there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. Does everybody see the word there? Fierce, the word fierce, the very same Greek word, chalepos, the very same word for perilous that we find here in 2 Timothy 3:1. Now, I want you to see a connection there, because there is a connection of demonic activity. Does everybody see that? Because it says, does anybody see that? You can raise, we're in class today. So raise your hand if you see that, all right? All right, the rest of you, I hope you see it before we end here today. All right, but this is very important to get this connection, because it says there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce. We are living in fierce times, and we have to see there is a demonic connection to it. There are demon spirits that are controlling people's lives. That is the spirit of the last days. We are living in fierce times, and they are going to get worse as we move closer to the coming of the Lord. So let's, on our outline here, let's talk about the root cause of fierce times. What is the root cause of it? Well, I want you to notice in our verse of scripture, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, it says, for men will be. Now, it doesn't just mean men in general. It means women too. That women would also be evil and wicked and demon-possessed. Whenever the Bible makes a reference to men, it's making a reference to mankind generally. It's talking about humanity in general. So when the Bible says, for man shall be, it's not just talking about men per se. It's talking about humanity. It's talking about men and women. It's talking about young people. Even law enforcement will tell you that the some of the most hardened criminals are between the age of 13 and 18. The most hardened can commit the most incredible crimes and not even feel anything in their conscience about it. Now, why is that? How could that be? We have to relate it to the demonic element. Just like we read here, Jesus is going about his earthly ministry, and here come two demon-possessed men, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. That means they were very violent men, and they were capable of great violence. And the Bible is teaching us and telling us that this will be the condition of the world in which you and I live. And you know what? You can't get away from it anywhere, because it's worldwide. Now, you might be able to move to a rural setting and get out in the country and where there's less population. Well, simply, it would be less dangerous because there's less population. You know, but we live in a very populated area. We are part of the region of the city of New Orleans. So we live in a very violent culture. And can I tell you this, folks? The politicians don't get it. They don't understand it. Unless they know God, unless they have a relationship with the Lord, then they don't get it. They don't understand it. Even Paul said the natural man cannot understand the things of the Word. He cannot understand the things of the Spirit. He said they are only spiritually discerned. So unless a politician is a born-again child of God, he can't get it. He don't understand what's happening. So they're going to try to treat the surface issues rather than the root cause. All right, so we're going to look at the root cause here today. What is the root cause of fierce times? For men will be, the Bible says. Now, let me also point out those two little words, will be. All right, it comes from one single Greek word that is translated, I am. Now, think of this. Who did God reveal himself to be in the Old Testament? How did he reveal, what was it, the term that he used to identify himself? Think of when Moses was going to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses prays to the Lord, and he says, when I go before Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? And what did God say? He said, I am. Are y'all with me so far? All right, so this little phrase here, these two little words, will be, comes from one single Greek word, I am. All right, now think of this. What did Satan offer Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2? To be like? To be I am. Are y'all with me so far? All right, what about the rest of you? All right, well, hang on, because we're dealing with some heavy-duty stuff here today. All right, so this is an incredible revelation. All right, so what the Bible says, what the Bible is teaching us, is that in the last days, people are going to live like they are God. I am. See, that is the very heartbeat of secular humanism. What is secular humanism? Secular humanism is the worship of the deification of men. That is what secular humanism is. That's why you see such a strong atheist movement today in the United States of America. They got a big atheist conference in D.C. this weekend. I was some minister friends of mine that are on my Facebook account posted some videos and some pictures that they are there preaching to the atheist convention. Praise God. And Ray Comfort, you may know him. He was the mentor for Kirk Cameron, who did the movie, you know, about marriage. What was the name of it? Fireproof, right? Anybody saw the movie Fireproof? If you haven't seen it, it's a great, great film. Great film. And, you know, Kirk Cameron was mentored by Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort is a tremendous evangelist. Well, he's there in D.C. this week doing some open-air preaching to the atheists. You know, why do we see so many atheists today? Why is there such a strong movement of atheism today? Because their mind has been seduced by the devil. See, they believe that there's no God. I am. You know, it's me. Men will be, is what the Bible said. For men will be lovers of themselves. See, there's four things here under the root cause of fierce times. Number one, the character of men will become more corrupt as the age draws to a close. So the reason why we see things accelerating is because men are getting worse. People are getting worse. They're not getting better. The only thing that can change them is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Men are going to get worse and worse. Number two, a prominent feature is that people will have lost natural affection. The root cause of this is selfishness. And it manifests itself in various forms of self-expression. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, because next week's lesson is demonic spirits of sexual immorality. I'm going to show you from God's word. See, it shouldn't surprise us, because God's word prophesied all of this. So everything we see going on, it shouldn't surprise us. You know, that's why Paul is saying, but know this. He said, we need to understand these things. We need to come to grips with what is going on and realize that it was all prophesied centuries ago. You know, but we need to understand what's happening in our world. And we can, my friends, we can be a light to call people out of darkness and to bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so here's number three. Root cause of fierce times. The degeneration of human character is based upon the love of self, the love of money, and the love of pleasure. Those three things. See, those three things characterize I am, for men will be. I am. Men will view themselves as God. That was exactly what Satan presented to Eve. If you eat of this tree, of this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But then when they broke the law of God and they ate of it, then they ran from God's presence. And then when the Lord comes looking for them, and they were hiding from his presence, and then Adam was confronted. What have you done? Have you eaten? You know, God told him, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? He said, I ate of it, you know, and I hid myself because I was naked. You know, who told you that you were naked? See, before sin came in, they were in right relationship with God. And the very presence of the Lord, the glory of God, was their covering. Isn't that awesome? The glory of God was their covering. So because the glory of God was their covering, they had no knowledge of their nakedness. It was all natural and beautiful. And sexual intimacy was, I'll tell you, it was better then than ever. I said, did he say that? Yeah, I did. Because it was under the glory of God. And it was only in the context of a man and his wife. And it hasn't changed. Hello, somebody. It hasn't changed. It's still under God's creative design. You know, we're going to talk more about that next week. But this is what the gospel teaches us. So they were under the glory of God. They were naked and not ashamed. That's what the Bible says. They were naked and not ashamed because they were under the glory. But then we go to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. Are y'all with me so far? Do you see where we're going? Do you understand what God's word is teaching us? So when they lost the glory of God and they lost their relationship with God, then they became their own I am. And when they became their own I am, then they were committed to the things of the world, loving, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, all of those things, the degeneration of human character based upon the love of self, the love of money, and the love of pleasure. Now the Bible says that all of that is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God will live forever. Hallelujah. I want to be one that does the will of God, because I want to live forever. We can't live forever on this side. Whatever pleasure we endure or enjoy here, or whatever whatever we experience on this earth, it's only momentarily. It's passing away. You can't live forever. It will have its end. It will come to its finality, because death is going to pass upon all men, because all have sinned. All right, here's the fourth thing dealing with the characteristics of these last days, the root cause of the fierce times. Evil men and seducers will be much worse at the end of the age. The evil condition of humanity will gain a rate of speed that is alarming. 2 Timothy 3:13. Listen to this. But evil men and imposters. The New King James uses the word imposters. The original King James uses the word seducers. But evil men and imposters, or seducers, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now you tell me, does that characterize the United States of America today? Yeah. This country is deceived. It's deceived. People are deceived. When you turn away from God and you turn away from the Word of God, then you give yourselves over to seducing spirits. Doctrines of demons. We're going to look at that verse also in just a second here. But this is what the Bible is teaching us, that evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul was telling Timothy, if you think men are bad now, he said they will be much worse at the end of the age. They're going to be much worse because they're going to go into this downward cycle. And I mean, we see it, my friends. We see it. I mean, think of how television has changed over the last 25, 30 years. I mean, things that are on TV today, would have shocked people 30 years ago. I mean, it's all around us. We can see it. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, these are the root causes. These are the root causes of fierce times. This is why the times will be perilous, or the times will be fierce. So that's why, man, we need to be praying over our kids. People of God, you better pray over your children. If you don't know how to pray, you better learn. Because nobody's going to pray for them like you pray for them. Before you go out of your house in the morning, you better anoint yourself with oil. Before you go to the grocery store. Because, man, there's demon-possessed people in the grocery store. I've seen them. I've encountered them. Hello, somebody. We must understand what's going on. It's a dangerous, dangerous place that you and I are living in. And we have to stand strong and understand, this is the root cause because of what is happening. See, this is why we have to deal with the heart of man, because it's the heart of man that is the problem. And even Jesus said that. He said that the religious people said, oh, your disciples, they eat bread without washing their hands. And Jesus said, listen, why are you so worried about that? See, they were so hung up on the Old Testament law. You can't eat with unwashed hands. It was part of their purity process for the purification for the Jews. And, Jesus said, listen, don't, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Don't worry about that. He said, this is what you need to understand. He said, for out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thievery, murders, lying. He gave us a whole long list. He said, these are the things that are coming out of the inside of men. And these are the things that are defiling humanity. So we must understand where the real battle is. See, we all of us must understand that our heart has the potential to commit evil. It has the potential. Because it's wicked at heart. And only the new nature from Jesus Christ can heal that. That's why we have to be born again. That's why we have to preach that people need Jesus. They don't need religion. They need Jesus. Because when Jesus comes in, a new nature is imparted. Hallelujah. And when that new nature is imparted, then I'm not the same old varmint that I was. Thank God I'm not. Hallelujah. But I understand that that heart still is evil. And it still will try to raise its ugly head. That's why Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to do that which is good I find not. He said, I find a law that is working on the inside of my members, trying to bring me into captivity to the law of sin and death. So we must understand where the real battle is. Evil men are going to get worse. And we see it today. We see it today. All right, let me move on. Let's talk about the next thing. Let's talk about the occultic surge. The occultic surge. Now, we just read in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers or imposters will get worse. The word seducers refers to someone who uses incantation, sorcery, magic, and spells. It refers to the spirit of wizardry. So we can understand that it's talking about occultic stuff. It's talking about the realm of the occult. It's talking about the things of the demonic, things that are satanic. The word incantation. The word incantation, it is defined as the use of spells or verbal charms, spoken or sung or even muttered over someone. Now what does God say in his word about that? Well, if we go into the book of Isaiah, Old Testament book of Isaiah, the Lord continuously, I say continuously, warned the Israelites not to adopt the practices of pagan nations because they were involved in all kind of occultism. And he warned them about that. So this is what he said, and this is just one selected passage of many that we could list in the Old Testament. He says, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter. Who whisper and mutter. That's what an incantation does. People mutter it. They will. It's a charm. And here in Southeast Louisiana, here in New Orleans area, they say, well, we'll put the gree-gree on you. That's a voodoo work, right? See, the darkness that is in the city is steeped in occultism. You can walk into the French, and I know, listen, I've lived here in Southeast Louisiana all of my life. And there's a lot of great things about the city. There's a lot of great things about this region. Number one, crawfish. Yeah. Number two, crabs. Yeah. Number three, shrimp, oysters. Let me stop there. But you know, I listen to these people on TV talking about our great city, our great city, our great city. And what makes it great? First of all, I challenge that. Is it great? What makes it great? I know some of the Saints fans say, we got the Saints. That'd be number five on the list for many of you. You know, I'm not trying to bash the city. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that the demonic activity that is in the city of New Orleans, when you think of all of the murder that's going on, it's a great city. Oh, but yet, look at all of the young black men that are dying on the streets of the city of New Orleans every single day. Many of them will not even reach their 18th birthday or 25th birthday. I was just reading an article in the newspaper Friday of a young black man. I think he's 41 years old now. And I read the whole article, tremendous story of how he got kind of caught into the culture of the city and, you know, and the drugs and the dealing and drugs and, you know, and the money and this and that. And the guy was shot three times, got shot on three different occasions. Now, how many of you know the hand of God had to be on him? Amen. Hand of God had to be on him. Now he has a ministry. Now they didn't really emphasize that, but to me that was the main part of the whole article. Is that he got saved, he got born again, and now he's got a ministry. He's trying to reach and rescue those that are lost and perishing. I say, God bless him. Hallelujah. God bless him, prosper him, use him for the glory of God. even in today's paper, another article. They're kind of highlighting these things. You know, so we think of, you know, this is a great city, but what makes it great? You know, the food, the culture, but, you know, they don't want to focus on the real issues, the real problems, the darkness that is in this city, because there's great darkness in the city of New Orleans. Why? Because of the spirit of occultism. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm not trying to put New Orleans or this entire region in a negative light, but what I'm trying to get you to understand and see, folks, is that there is an occultic power that is at work, and it seduces cities. It works in cities. It works in populated areas. You can walk into the French Quarter and you can feel the demonic power. Listen, I've been over there enough to know. I'm going to be out there on Bourbon Street in the middle of July preaching on one of, doing some open air preaching on one of the corners. They're going to have seven corners set up with open air preaching. I've been invited to come and occupy one of those corners. I said, count me in, praise God. I'm ready to preach the God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God in the salvation. It's the power of God in the salvation. Because I understand, and there was a time when I was on Bourbon Street. Way back when. So I understand that darkness. If you came out of it, you understand that darkness. You know what has them. You know, the occultism, like we are in a generation that is characterized by the spirit of the occult. Spirit of the occult. How about some of these television programs? Lucifer. I mean, let's just get right to it. Lucifer. That's the name of the TV series. Lucifer. How about this one? Lord of Salem. Well, how about this one? The Walking Dead. That is occultism, my friends. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. It says that those who hate me love death. That's Proverbs 8:36. Those that hate me love death. All of this is occultism. The last days will be characterized by an increase in occultism. This demonic activity will captivate the minds and souls of many people as they give heed to it. So I challenge you, my friend, are you giving heed to it? Because it's time to come out of the darkness, and it's time to make a stand for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to know that He has anointed us to stand strong and to be a light. He said, I send you, I establish you as a light. And you don't set a light under a bed, but you put it so that all can see. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me? Hallelujah. See, the last days will be characterized, number two, under the occultic search. Last days will be characterized by an increase in occultism. The demonic activity will captivate them. The 2014 Grammys, Katy Perry performs Dark Horse, which was nothing more than a ritual of witchcraft and satanic symbolism. And, you know, this is what, you know, the devil has always, listen to me now, the devil has always targeted the young people. Always. This is why, can't jump ahead of lesson two next week, but this is why we see all of this stuff about the bathrooms in the schools. I mean, are they crazy? They must have not went to high school with the guys that I went to high school with. I was one of those guys. Man, listen, we must understand what's going on in our world. You know, it's an occultism that is unfolding before our very eyes. We've had the sex revolution. We've had the drug revolution. And my friends, we are in the occult revolution right now. Look at what this verse says. 1 Timothy 4:1. I made a little error there. That's supposed to be 1 Timothy 4:1, not 2 Timothy 4:1. So you might want to make a little notation on your note sheet there. But 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, this is talking about people in the church. Listen, I could probably sit down right now with an ink pen and a piece of paper, and I could begin to list people that I knew were on fire for God, were serving in the local church, and they are as backslidden as a snake in the grass. Totally turned away from God. Their mind has been seduced. And what, even renouncing the gospel. I was reading an article about one of the original founders of the Newsboys, one of the great contemporary Christian groups of the last couple of decades, I guess. And he has now renounced Christianity. He's renounced faith in Christ, and he's declared himself an atheist. Now, I have to seriously, seriously, seriously question the genuineness of his conversion. I have to question. But the Bible says it right here, that in the last days, people that were in church, people that we thought were, you know, were on fire for God, that were really, truly saved and born again and converted, he said they will turn away and they will depart and they give heed. See, when you depart, then you give heed too, because the devil's always got his arms open. He said, my restaurant's open. Drinks are on the house. Devil always has an offer. Always has an offer. That's why if we don't stay strong in the Word of God, if we don't stay committed to the Lord in prayer, seeking His face, crying out to God, have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. My God, I might preach anyway today. Get the anointing of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, that my friend, we are ripe to be deceived, because the devil, even Peter said it, the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He said, resist him! Resist him! Steadfast in the faith. Only 1 in 10 estimated that those that start serving God. I got born again at 18 years of age. 18 years of age. And I'll tell you, in almost 40 years of serving God, there's a lot of peaks and valleys. A lot of peaks and valleys in the walk of faith. But I'll tell you what, I've never backslidden. Never turned back. Now at first, boy, it was rough. It was rough. But man, I hit a point to where you know what that point was? I learned how to pray. Because the temptation was strong. But I read in the Bible, it says you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you need to be able to pray in the Spirit. I said, what is that? I said, I don't even know what that is. When I got saved, I didn't even know one verse in the Bible. Not even one. I couldn't even quote John 3:16. I didn't even know it existed. All I knew was the Bible was something that you had on the family table. I didn't think he even attempted to read it. You know, that was my concept. That was my concept of God's Word. But when I got born again, and I began to learn the Word of God, and I began to grow in the things of God, and man, I realized how weak I was, and all of, you know, all the guys that I used to run with, and do the things that I did with them, and man, how they were trying to get me back into their camp, but something had happened. I had cried out to God for salvation, and the Spirit of the Lord had come inside of me, but I fell into backslidden. I would fall into sin, and then the girls. I didn't realize how demon possessed girls were. Had to contend. You know, think of when you're 18 years of age. Think of what you were doing at 18. Well, maybe you may not want to think about that, but I think you know where I'm coming from. You know, listen, the devil, man, he'll use all kind of things because he doesn't want to lose us out of his camp. And I was so weak, but I learned how to pray. And I learned there was an anointing in God. And every morning I get up, I begin to pray, cry out. And all of a sudden, man, I found that, man, there was something that was going on the inside of me. Drugs don't have authority over me anymore. Women don't have authority over me. Money, we didn't have any of that anyway, but money don't have authority over me. None of those things have authority over me, because now there's a power that is from God. Hallelujah. And when you begin to experience it and walk in it, you know, your light increases. And the darkness begins to lose its grip. And that's why I think Peter understood. He said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his glorious, marvelous light. Oh, man, I love that verse. I love that verse. And I committed it to memory. And I would quote it in the mornings, you know, because it's difficult. You know, the walk of faith, it's full of valleys and peaks, valleys and peaks. But people are turning away. And God's Word said it, that the Spirit speaks expressly, in the last days many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 24:24. He said, false Christs, false prophets will rise show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. My friends, can I tell you this? You need to get a conviction that's based upon the Word of God and prayer. Get a conviction. Get a conviction in your life. And realize that some of the things you might be partaking of right now is not pleasing to the Lord. Some of those TV shows you're watching are not pleasing to the Lord. Some of the music you might be listening to is not pleasing to the Lord. I've got a couple of amens out there. Rest of you, either mad or convicted. One of the two. But we got to live with conviction. And I don't want anything that is going to... Listen, all of us can walk in the anointing of God. And I don't want anything that is going to hinder the flow of my anointing. So one of my preacher friends posted a little clip, 1997, of John Osteen preaching the gospel. Man, listen, he was Holy Ghost. Just not my flavor, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Just not my flavor. He's some people's flavor, but he's not my flavor. But John was right on. John was a Holy Ghost man. And I got a clip of that message, a 5-minute clip. And I was ready to do a little dance. Hallelujah. Y'all want to see that again? Well, I'm going to start giving you filming. I'm taking an offering right now for the building project. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right, you ready? All right, come on. She's going to go Facebook, post it on Facebook. Listen, we got to get filled with God. Amen. We got to get filled with truth. Filled with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Get filled with the anointing. Because in these last days, so many are walking away. And Jesus said that it would be great deception. The last days, deception would not unfold all at once, but it would be a gradual descent into darkness. Look at this, Isaiah 8:22. They will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. I love this when Isaiah 61:2, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Man, that's my faith declaration right there. Hallelujah. The times, they are a-changing, as Bob Dylan said. But it only means I'm getting closer. Hallelujah. I can see it on the horizon. I'm getting closer. Because there's coming a day when the trumpet is going to sound. And it's not Donald, praise God. It's a trumpet of the Lord that's going to sound. People think Trump's got the answer. Trump ain't got the answers. The trump of God has the answer. Jesus is going to get us out of here. Hallelujah. And we're going to live forever with him. I want to live for eternity, man. I want to live for the glory of God. I want to live for the advancement of his kingdom. I want to be so full of God and so ready to be a minister in these last days to finish strong. Because it said only 1 in 10 will finish strong. Those who start serving God at age 18. I started serving God at age 18. And they said that, I forgot the number, but it's like 80-something percent of people that come to faith in Christ do so before they reach age 18. We better put our focus in the youth department, in the tween department, in the nursery department, because over 80% of those that come to faith in Christ do so before age 18. We better start working right where we need to work, because the devil always targets the young people. He tries to destroy them. If he can't destroy them in the womb, he'll destroy them some other way. We got to understand what's going on today, folks. Because these last days will be fierce. So Paul's word to Timothy was that in the last days there would be a worldwide impact of occultism. It would influence government, education, and society as a whole. So we need to pray for our Beyonce to be saved. Because she's in occultism, my friends. She's in occultism. We need to pray for Miley Cyrus to be saved.
raised in the house of God. Katie Perry, her father is a minister of the gospel. And she even says that she tried to get a career in gospel music. It didn't work out for her, so she turned to the other side. Well, sure, the devil was waiting. Come on, I'll make a deal with you. You serve me. He's been making deals from the very beginning. Hello, somebody. He tried to make a deal with Jesus. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now, wasn't that foolish? The creator of the universe himself, Jesus Christ, who already, you know, the kingdom's already going to be his, and the devil's trying to make a deal. Let's make a deal. Y'all remember that program? Somebody said, I think the devil's a used car salesman. I don't know about that. I've met some pretty interesting used car salesmen. Well, I better not tell that story. I better leave that one alone. I don't have time today. But let me finish this up here. We're already at noon. So let's finish this up. Here's the last thing. And all this information that I've shared with you today, and I've shared a lot, and I've gone through it very rapidly. And this is what I want to leave you with. Here's the last thing on the outline. We must walk in God's wisdom. I need his wisdom. Ephesians 5:15-16. See then. You know what that means? It means give attention to. It means prioritize. It means you better put this at the top of the list. That's what it means when it says see then. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So two things here. We must walk circumspectly. The idea is to be alert and cautious. It's the ideology here, or the illustration here, is like someone walking through rough terrain, and it's full of thorn bushes all over. Now, if you're going to go walk through some rough terrain, and you know there's a lot of thorn bushes in there, then you're not going to just go skip to the loo, my darling, through that field. You're going to be on the lookout for those thorny bushes. This is the picture that God is telling us in his word when he says walk circumspectly. We must be alert and cautious. We're taking our steps. We're moving forward. We're going through this field, this last day's field. But I got to understand, there's all kind of bushes that are trying to stick me. Don't get stuck. How are you not going to get stuck? You need wisdom. You have to walk circumspectly. The next thing is, number two, we must redeem the time. This means we must seize every opportunity to work for God. For we only have a limited amount of time to fulfill Christ's purposes. Now let me tell you, folks, we can get so involved in just living life, working our job, you know, getting a new house or a new car, you know, all of those things. God bless you if you're able to do that. But my friend, do never ever pursue all of that thing and forget God. Because that's exactly what the Lord told the Israelites. He said, I'm going to bring you into a place that is so abundant, so prosperous. You're going to have so much that you're not even going to know what to do with it all. He said, but I want you to realize this. When you come there, when you get there, I don't want you to then kick back and say, well, my arm of flesh got me this. See, not only that's what the United States of America is doing. Prideful country. But God is going to bring it to its knees. You mark my words. God is going to bring this nation to its knees. And I'm excited about it, but I'm scared of it. Because Paul understood that. He said, what if God was willing to show his wrath? We'd all be toast. God could bring this nation to its knees in a second.